Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our reflections on Jesus of the Gospels. We started studying the beginnings of the Jesus movement, how Jesus, after his victory in the desert, came to Galilee and started calling disciples. We saw that there is a difference in the reports about the beginnings and about the call of the disciples as given in the four Gospels. We had been following the Gospel of John, where two young people who were the followers or disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and wanted to know him more. And this encounter of the two young people made them disciples of Jesus. They came, they saw, and they stayed with him. And this encounter made them apostles. So the first one, Andrew, found his brother, Simon, and brought him to Jesus. This Simon was given a new name by Jesus, and the name is Cephas, meaning rock. And that's what we call Peter, Petra, rock. So now we continue our reflections on the call of the disciples, how this movement started and how this movement gathered momentum. We follow the Gospel of John further. In the same chapter 1, verses 43 to 51, we see how new disciples are being gathered or brought to the fold. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. Apparently, the call of John, Andrew, and Peter took place in Judea, where John the Baptist was administering baptism, where Jesus himself was baptized. It would also seem that these people were the disciples of John. Now, from Judea, from Jordan and the desert of Judea, Jesus is going to Galilee, where he would start his ministry. On the way, he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Unlike John, Andrew, and Peter, Philip is somehow called by Jesus. It's not Philip who comes to Jesus, but Jesus comes to Philip. The Synoptic Gospels will tell us that Jesus went and found disciples whom he wanted. So there is a combination of both methods. Some come to Jesus, some others are found by Jesus. But whatever the way the encounter takes place, what is important is the very encounter. Jesus found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." No further explanation is given. And we are not told what Philip did. But the next words tells us that Philip has already become a disciple and an apostle. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. This is an interesting information. Usually we are of the impression that Peter and Andrew, the brothers, were from Capernaum. In fact, in Capernaum today we can see the ruins of the house of Peter, or what is supposed to be the house of Peter, and the church that was built on it. Now we have a beautiful church built on the ruins of that house and church in Capernaum. So Capernaum is the house of Peter. But then John tells us that Peter and Andrew were from the city of Bethsaida. Bethsaida was a city built by Herod Philip, the tetrarch of Trachonitis, the northeastern part of Galilee. Philip was the son of Herod the Great, and he built a city on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee and named it after the daughter of Augustus, was called Julia. So this Bethsaida is called Bethsaida Julia. In fact, Philip had a capital which he had built and gave the name Caesarea, Caesarea Philippi. So Caesarea Philippi was the capital, but Bethsaida Julia was more important town, as the archaeologists and historians say. So Bethsaida Julia, the city built by Philip and considered as a second capital of his reign, was the hometown of Peter and Andrew. This was an important fishing town. It is situated on the eastern shore of the river of the Sea of Galilee, where the river Jordan flows into Galilee. So this, from this particular city come at least three of the apostles: Peter, Andrew, and Philip. Now, how is it that Peter came to Capernaum? It is presumed that later on, Peter shifted his center to Capernaum. He was married there, his mother-in-law was sick in Capernaum. We do not know if Peter had married into that house, or however, it was Capernaum was the major center. Capernaum was also another important fishing center. A lot of fishing industry was going on in Bethsaida and Capernaum. So now Jesus comes to this area where people are at work. So Philip was from the city of Bethsaida. Now Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote." So as Andrew brought Peter, now Philip is bringing Nathanael to him, to Jesus. Both had the same expression, same impression about Jesus, that he is the one we had been waiting for. We have found the Messiah, the sense of fulfillment, the exuberance in finding Jesus. We have found him whom the people of God, Israel, was waiting for. Nathanael doesn't appear any more in the Gospels, but it is presumed, the tradition tells us, Nathanael is the same person as Bartholomew, the apostle. Nathanael was a skeptic. He was a learned man, and he expresses the skepticism that is somehow related to Nazareth. Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Because Nazareth is a city, a small town, never mentioned in the entire Old Testament. Nobody had expected anything important would come from this God-forsaken, so to say, unknown village of Nazareth. So what was not expected of Nazareth has taken place. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Philip said to him, "Come and see." Give up your prejudice. Come and see for yourself. That is what every Christian, every genuine Christian who has experienced, who has encountered Jesus, would tell a seeker of truth. Come and see. No force, only gentle invitation, persuasion. You only come and see for yourself. As people go to some retreat centers, some conventions, or reading the Bible, some liturgical celebrations, come and see, experience for yourself, and you decide whether this is the Redeemer or not. Come and see. As Jesus had invited John and Andrew, now Philip invites Nathanael, come and see. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Jesus is the one who sees through the heart, who knows everything, who can read the heart of the people. And here is a genuine Israelite without any deceit, any guilt. Can he tell us, looking into our face, here is a true Christian, a person without any deceit, any guilt, no hypocrite, a true person? Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Jesus saw Nathanael before Nathanael saw him. Something like what happens with Zacchaeus. Jesus saw Zacchaeus before Zacchaeus could see him. Jesus knows the person. It was enough for Nathanael. This knowledge of Jesus about the person was sufficient reason for Nathanael to break into a Christological confession. "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." A genuine, a true Israelite who expresses the conviction that his hopes had been fulfilled. "You are the Son of God." The very first confession comes from this disciple. "You are the Son of God, and you are the King of Israel." King of Israel is the Messiah. People had been waiting for him. So Nathanael breaks out into this explosive statement, his confession of his faith, and Jesus gives further revelation. "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Jesus reveals himself as the one who fulfills all the hopes and prophecies of Israel. And he terms himself as the Son of Man. Son of God becomes Son of Man. So we have three Christological titles here. Son of God, King of Israel, Son of Man. And the Son of Man is the one on whom the angels of God will descend and ascend. So it means he is the one who connects heaven and earth, referring to the Old Testament vision of Jacob. Jacob who had the vision of at Bethel, vision of heaven's opening and a ladder reaching up to heaven. At the top of the ladder stood God, and from there comes angels bringing God's blessings and God's law to the people and taking the prayers of the people up to God. So this ladder is the connecting link, the bridge. Jesus is the bridge maker, the pontifex, the Son of Man who relates heaven and earth. So thus John ends his narration about the beginning of the Jesus movement. How the young people from Galilee, people who had been waiting for a redeemer, people who had been looking for the liberation of Israel, people who had been preparing themselves to accept the Messiah King, they are now gathered together around Jesus. The Synoptic Gospels present a slightly different picture. Mark gives the lead. In the Gospel of Mark, the call of the disciples is presented without any preparation whatsoever. In Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20, we read about the call of the first four disciples. "As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I'll make you fish for people.'" So the event takes place on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. This Sea of Galilee is an inner inland lake. It's called sometimes sea, it's called sometimes lake. It has several names. Here it is said Sea of Galilee because this is situated in the region called Galilee. So it's a lake that has the length of about 25 kilometers north-south, and at its broadest about 15 kilometers. It has a shape of a pier, and it is called Lake of Gennesaret. Gennesaret comes from Kinneret, the Hebrew word Kinneret, and it's a musical instrument. It's also called Lake of Tiberias because the city of Tiberias was situated on the shore of this lake. So all these names point to the same lake, the inland sea. It's not a big sea, it is only a lake. But it is a lake with fresh water and plenty of fish. Even today, you get a delicious fish called the St. Peter's fish. If you happen to go to the Sea of Galilee, make sure that you take at least one of them. Now Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and his brother Andrew. Already we saw that Simon and Andrew were from Bethsaida, Julia. Their origin, their home was at Bethsaida. But they were fishermen, they were fishing all along the shore. And it seems Simon and Andrew were rather wealthy fishermen. They were not just hand workers. They had their own boat, they had their own nets, and it seems they had a flourishing industry of fishing. In fact, Capernaum and Bethsaida were important fishing centers. And nearby was the Magdala, where the fish was processed and was exported. So it seems Peter had rather a good business going on, and they were casting the nets into the sea. People in action. People who were earning their bread by hard work. Later on we will see, especially in the Gospel of Luke, that they worked for the whole night and did not get anything. So they were working, of course, they were working people. And Jesus called them, "Follow me and I'll make you fish for people." So Jesus calls Peter and Andrew. Then he goes on to James and his brother John. And these are the four people whom Jesus called. And they follow without any questioning. Immediately they leave everything and follow Jesus. Here the imposing personality of Jesus, the attraction that is somehow irresistible, captivates all powers, these working people, and they start with Jesus, the Jesus movement. Matthew also tells us the same thing. Luke has a different story to tell, that is after the miraculous draught of fish that Jesus called the disciples and they followed. Whatever be the concrete situation, one thing is very clear, that this encounter with Jesus forced them to become the disciples of Jesus. They could not resist the call, and they left everything and they followed Jesus. Now we close with a prayer. Jesus, we thank you for revealing yourself as the Son of God, as the Son of Man, the King of Israel. We thank you for calling us also to come and see, to follow you. Enable us to understand you. Enable us to follow you without looking back, abandoning everything, trusting entirely on you and only on you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.